Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Welcome back into the Fourth Man Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony, and we got a good one for you today. It's going to be a straight interview, no news, no updates yet, but we got a good interview for you. We're welcoming on the 10th pick of the 2024 Big 3 Draft, and now officially a Big 3 rookie, Nasir Khor. Nas, thanks for the time. We appreciate it, and welcome to the show.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see you on social media, Instagram. It sounds like you've been grinding. You know, you've been grinding for a while, but you're grinding extra hard now as the season's approaching. 3 workouts a day, physical, mental, skill-wise. How are you feeling after getting drafted to the Big 3 and just knowing you're going to be playing in the league this summer?
To be honest, man, it's a real moment for real. Like, just, you know what I'm saying, having this be – I remember when the league first started and it just being so, like, I just dang, that's tough, man. Seeing a bunch of, like, old players, well, not old players, but, like, NBA players that we used to watch all the time, like Joe Johnson and even Michael Beasley, like, being, like, the number 2 draft pick, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then for the chance to be able to play alongside them and test my skills against people like that, I mean, that's just, like, a life goal. Like, you know, you see, like, NBA legends or NBA superstars, like LeBron James and Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and you know what I'm saying? You just to be in their presence to be a big accomplishment, but for me to actually be playing against them and test my skill against them, it's like a dream come true. And like this is something I put on my vision board since January, like my New Year's resolution. So, I mean, I just been like grinding, you know what I'm saying? I had a major injury last year, so been just trying to get back in shape, get back to my old self, and then it just all played out perfectly on combine day. So I couldn't ask for a better circumstance going in with Reggie Evans, somebody that is from Tampa and who I work out with all the time, and he knows me very well. And then Mario Chalmers, who I seen in Miami and kind of got to know him a little bit. And even Michael Beasley, I got to know him a little bit. Not as much, but, I mean, like I said, Michael Beasley, like one of them. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to the season. And looking forward to just testing my skills against the NBA's best, for sure.
Man, that's amazing. It's truly inspirational, I think, just knowing that you're coming back from injury, which never would have guessed that just with how you were cooking some people. And then just to put that on your vision board, manifest that, and then see, not necessarily a dream come true because the job's not done, obviously, but, you know, see some of those things fall into place. That's truly inspirational. And one thing... And really, I think the first time I reached out to you was really after you got drafted and seeing kind of another inspirational post where there were some challenges that you had when you were at Florida A&M, where there was multiple coaching changes. There was, you felt like maybe because different coaches come in, they were underutilizing you, not utilizing your skill set to your fullest potential. And obviously that happens to a lot of people that play collegiate basketball. But for you, you didn't let it sway you. You continue to grind it out and continue to, you know, kind of show the world like, hey, like what you saw in college is not the best of me just yet. It's just you didn't get to see everything. But can you kind of talk about your journey just a little bit at Florida A&M and kind of why you chose to go there in the first place, and what you, I guess, in more detail felt like didn't work out, where you did have to grind it out maybe a little bit more than maybe some other guys who got the full, got to, you know, go to their full potential and play the role they thought they were going to.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, at FAMU, I recruited by a coach, Byron Samuels, and you know what I'm saying, everything went well. Like it was still obstacles. It's not like everything was handed to me when he was there. But as a freshman, you know what I'm saying, I got the chance to, I came in as a point guard. I got the chance to, I started in the season playing like barely any minute, like 5, 10, 15 minutes, but I worked my way up, you know what I'm saying? And I continued to like work hard and got the chance. And then by the end of the season, I started as a freshman. So I had a lot of momentum going out of my freshman year. FAMU went a different way, different path. My sophomore year where they signed a new coach during the summer. I went to FAMU more because of the culture.
For sure.
I love the culture. Like when I went there for my visit, everything about it just screamed like me. Like that kind of like embody who I am. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people like that look like me succeeding. You know what I'm saying? So I always, even though my college career didn't go how I wanted to, FAMU always had a special place in my heart when it comes to that. So I kind of like outside of basketball, everything went great for me. But so then my sophomore year, they brought a new coach in. He signed. So his name Robert McCullum. He didn't have a good. I mean, he didn't have a recruiting class at that time because it was he came in during the summer, and we had 2 20-point scorers. So it was like I knew my sophomore year I wasn't going to take that big leap. You know what I'm saying? But I thought I was going to take some lead. Like, I was a starting point guard in the season. Okay, I'm going to be starting point guard coming in. You know what I'm saying? So, basically, I'm starting from zero all over again. So, I started from zero. I started half the games of the season, but he moved me to the wing, which I kind of felt out of position. And then I felt like there was a couple people at the point guard position that I felt like I could have played better than. But, you know, college basketball is a lot about politics and business, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's about who you know rather than like your skill or talent. So I feel like some of those things played a factor into me getting moved to a different position or me not playing as much. So I thugged it out all sophomore year, started like half the season, had a average, like bad sophomore year. Then junior year, he got his first recruiting class. And when he, but my sophomore year, like I started half the season. So I'm thinking like, now that 2 20-point scorers are graduating, like I have to take that step up now. Like this is actually my time. And back then, the transfer rules wasn't the same as they are now, where you could just transfer from Division I to Division I and not sit out. Like you have to sit out a year back when I was in school. So I kind of didn't really want to sit out a year. I kind of like, I just love the game. I wanted to play. And whatever I could do to get on the court, that's what I was going to do. So junior came, he had his whole recruiting class. But I felt like it was my job to lose instead of like their job to just come in to get. So I felt like I was just going, like, as long as I do what I got to do, I'll be fine. Like, I don't care about anybody he's recruiting, whatever, even though he recruited in my position. But rather than it being my job to lose, it was really their job to lose, because he had faith in them. You know what I'm saying? When you recruit somebody, like you believe in their talent,
right?
You believe in their skill, rather than somebody that was already here when you got here.
Yeah, no.
So it that was kind of my obstacle, because he had already had a pre-record, like he already had thoughts on how their season would play out rather than how my season would play out. And he never really put me in a plan, a game plan, or any way, like trying to, like, he embodied me into the system. Like, I was just somebody that can get thrown in at any moment. So, like I said, I ain't trying to bash my coach, because we have built a relationship outside of my college career. But, you know what I'm saying? That kind of, like, ruin my college career for real. So, and like I said, transfer rules not being the same where I could just transfer and leave, and me falling in love with the culture at FAMU, it made it hard for me to leave, even if I wanted, even if transfer rules were the way they are now. So, I mean, I thugged it out the whole way, you know what I'm saying? And it didn't go my way. My second half of my senior year, I kind of flipped the switch because I just realized, like, I mean, this is my last season. I might as well just go out how I want to go out. And I end up probably averaging around, like, 12 a game for, like, conference play. And that's when, like, that coach realized, like, damn, I didn't utilize him how I should have, you know what I'm saying? So, you've seen a glimpse of what I could have done a long time ago, my second half, like, conference play. So it all happened how it's supposed to happen. I feel like I learned a lot from that. I feel like this is the reason I'm so, like, hardworking, even when, like, some of the results aren't there. Like, I work hard without results, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's because of that. Like, I was working hard during the season, during my college career, playing and being one of the guys that should have been on the court, but not getting the recognition or the results I wanted. So it kind of embodied, like, that's something I embodied for the rest of my life. Like, I'm always going to work hard no matter how the results pan out. Like, just keep working. And one day it's going to take that turn for you. So this was just all, it just shows you, like, you know what I'm saying? Everything's for a reason. God has a plan for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's not your time, and it's God's time. So all glory to God, you know what I'm saying? Like, he kept me sane. He kept me loving the game, and it all paid out in the end. So, I mean, I'm now I'm side by side with Michael Beasley, right, the number two draft pick, right, and Mario Chalmers, a two-time champ. So you can't ask for more. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. No, it's just all about staying the course. And I think, too, while you didn't have the benefits of the transfer rules that collegiate players have today, you did have an opportunity to build a lot of mental fortitude. And I think we hear that from a lot of OGs, and we see that within guys that are transferring year after year. Even when guys are playing a lot, they're still kind of making that jump that everyone was bashing KD for. Like, I know I'm going jumping from NBA to college, but everyone's bashing KD for making that easy, you know, easy quote unquote leap from OKC to Golden State because they had just won it all. It's no different in college where guys are starting and they're starting for a good team and they want to go to a better team, right? Like, it's not a ton of mental fortitude that is being built necessarily for the rest of their careers. And for you, like, you built that very early on, which has led you to a point where you stayed the course, and now you're getting an opportunity to, like you said, play along some guys that had a long careers in the NBA and in an upcoming league, and really kind of we're still in the first seven seasons. So getting a chance to kind of blaze a path, be one of the early pioneers of this league, to, you know, one day when we look back, it'll be crazy. And it's all just because of that start at FAMU. So I thought that was dope. Just, you, like, kind of you sharing your story and just kind of how appreciative you were of it. But kind of moving forward, I mean, like, following your collegiate career, obviously you have a chance to be pro and you've had a lot of success, just like what you've been able to do with Ball is Life. But I want to take it back just a little bit further back, because you used to kind of be you were a dual athlete. You were a former football player. You really embraced the, you know, the big guard you brotherhood, right, over there, right? And I feel like a lot of people, when they play basketball, they don't always love football players, right? Like, playing with them, like, they're just rough, they're physical. But for you, like, I feel like you really embrace it and you utilize it, like, the physical attributes of it, but you still have a lot of finesse to your game. Are there, like, specific traits that carry over from your time playing football that you still feel like you benefit and take advantage of today as a basketball player?
I feel like, for sure, like, me in high school, like, I had Division I offers for football too, but it was just like, it was all out of state. I didn't really want to go out of state. Mm. I wanted to stay in Florida. But I feel like my size, just like how well I fill out, was a testament to football for sure. And that's like what kind of like separates me from a lot of other guards, because of my size and how, and the way I can use my size with finesse. Like, it ain't all just like a bully or ball or stuff like that. Like, I use my size to get enough, like, create enough space without it being illegal, and as well as to get the shot off, or as well as guarding bigger people to, like, you know what I'm saying, have leverage under them. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that was like a reason why I did get drafted to the big three, because, you know, guards in the NBA, there is more 6'5", 6'6", point guards and 6'7", 6'8", wings. You know what I'm saying? So with me being the size I am, I have the abilities to still, you know what I'm saying, maintain. I'm not saying I'm going to stop everybody, but I can still give a fight to guard anybody, even if, like, they have a couple inches on me, to, like, not give up as much space, or, you know what I'm saying, not let them push me in the to the paint.
Right.
So I feel like that was that's a testament to my early football career, you know what I'm saying? And football was always my first love. I only started playing basketball because after football season, if you didn't play another sport, you had to do conditioning. So instead of, like, me just running on the track every day, I was like, let me just try to play basketball, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I even got into basketball. But so I give a lot of credit to my early football career, and, like, just, like, really my basketball coach, Cedric Smith, high school basketball coach, and my assistant coach, Coach Ken. He was Ken Angel, I meant. They were, like, very helpful in, like, telling me, like, how to guide playing two sports, and, like, even, like, travel. Like, they pick me up, take me to practice, you know what I'm saying, make sure that I was cool so that I could even be able to play both sports. So I appreciated both of them guys for sure. But back to the question. Yeah, I feel like my size and how I'm filled out helps me. That started a Big RU brand. Like, Big RU is a brand for bigger guards, you know what I'm saying? But we're not, like, we just not, like, bullies. Like, you know what I'm saying? We got finesse to our game. We got skill. And that's what makes a difference. Well, that's what makes a big guard for real. Like, having skill with the size, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's the big thing that helped me from football to being a big guard.
Yeah, for sure. And that's love to your coaches, like, just helping you out, like, getting you, you know, playing that early part in your life to be able to help you, like, get to the point where you're at now. But two, you know, like, the physicality you play with of just being a bigger guard, complimenting, you know, Mario Chalmers, who's, you know, he's a physical guard too. I don't know if he's got more physical just playing in the big three, but that's definitely something that, you know, I feel like you'll adjust to really well. It's just the physicality of this league, because you play with physicality and finesse as well. So that's really dope and crazy that you even had offers for football and basketball, and football was your first love. Like, that's kind of me too. Like, I don't play either of those sports now, but I definitely was a football player who's grown to love basketball more too. So I can definitely relate to that as well. In terms of,
I feel like every football player want to play basketball.
Right, right. I feel like too, just like, even for me, just someone who just hoops at the Y, you know, once a week or something. It's just, as you get older, it's something that you can still do. You can still do for a long time, because there's different types of games that you can play to and kind of take advantage of. With football, it's not like you're going to go run out once a week, get, what, 22 guys together, or even like 14 guys together, and just be able to, like, go run around, throw some routes and stuff like that. So that's why I feel like I kind of grew to love it more. And then I think this league and everything else in between has made me love it. But I think that's facts. And two, I think what's cool about your pro career is, like, you've won overseas, but you're also doing a lot from your partnership with Ball Is Life, kind of being part of the Ball Is Life family. And I think the first time I ever heard your name, it was some viral video. I think it just you just going, like, a park takeover or doing some ones, but you've been kind of killing it in both. And I think you've added a big piece to the Ball Is Life family. How did that opportunity come about originally?
It's crazy, because it came about, like, right after I won the chip. So I went overseas to Europe, won the championship. I was coming back from championship. I went on the cruise with my girl, just trying to relax and get the basketball off of me, because I was just over there for a little while. So I was coming back from the cruise. I docked in Orlando. My folks is from Tampa. So when I came, I was like, all right, I'm going to go back to Tampa for the weekend. And then I just put on my Instagram, like, where the run's at, because I was trying to get my legs from under me, because I had, like, water legs, whatever. So Yeah, that's how it happened. And then somebody hit me up like saying it was a park takeover this day, and then whoever the best players get to play 1-on-1 against somebody. And if you win, you get $100. 1-on-1 against Moon at the time. So, you know what I'm saying? Once I got the opportunity, I was like, all right, I come. I pulled up, played to my ability, you know what I'm saying? And then and the one I got chosen for the 1-on-1, and then I won the 1-on-1 kind of convincingly. So that's kind of was like, whoa, like who is this? And then they Slim and the Wild had the time invited me out, and I started doing. And at first I was just saying like, all right, this could be some like off season stuff until I get my next contract. And just, you know what I'm saying, stay in shape as well as build my brand out. So I was just like, yeah, I'll do it. So that's when they reached out to me, opportunity, I did it. Started going and doing more park takeovers, more ones and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden I started like create a buzz and really like seeing that this can be like a lane for me. So when I was getting my first couple offers from overseas and they wasn't like it wasn't the number I wanted or it wasn't the area I wanted, I was kind of like just denying it. My agent was getting upset with me because it's like, dang, you just keep denying everything I'm sending you. But I was like, all right, if it's not this place at this number, I kind of don't want it. You know what I'm
Feel
saying?
that.
So I kind of just kept taking the YouTube thing seriously, and then I started seeing like real revenue from it, and then all of a sudden, like the offer I wanted. Which was Greece, came at the number that I wanted. So I really had a decision to make. But at this time, I had kind of like some motion on the YouTube. So I just decided to stay home and just really see how far I could take it. And like I'm just glad I made the right decision at this time. I
Yeah.
feel like it was best for me. But now I'm home. You know what I'm saying? I got my own. I make my own schedule. You know what I'm saying? I still have like I'm playing again with major brands like Nesquik and Baller's Life and stuff like that. So, you know what I'm saying? Then it's just a blessing for real, for real. I can't even explain it. Like, I was a person all throughout college and didn't have an Instagram. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
So,
man.
I didn't even like Instagram. I don't take pictures like that. It's not me. So, I was the last on this. I never watched YouTube. So, I didn't know I was like ignorant to a lot of this stuff. Like, I just jumped in head first and like said, like, whatever it is makes out of it, it makes out of it. And that's kind of how I take the approach on a lot of things. Like I just, you know what I'm saying, give my best effort and however it pan out. So I mean, from YouTube to the big three, it's all been working out. So I'm just gonna keep living like that, I guess.
Bro, I can understand you not having an Instagram is for sure toxic. Like, I'm definitely not on like the TikTok life, but not never watching YouTube. That's nuts.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even understand like the magnitude of YouTube until like I started getting into it and realizing like people really see you as like celebrities and like you have fans and like you know what I'm saying, like you have to watch your image and stuff like that. So then I had to like carry myself a certain way. But you know what I'm saying, I always carry myself a certain way, but just being more cognizant of how you carry yourself and stuff like that and what you post and stuff like that. So yeah, I just had to like do my research on it and started really figuring out like how this is like a whole nother like lane for basketball. And it's not just because when I came back overseas, like, and I was playing the kid 1-on-1, I was like, yeah, it's the difference between a pro and a YouTuber, you know what I'm saying? So I was more on that because I didn't know too much about YouTube, but I was not realizing like playing against people like Frank Nitti and Body Bag and stuff like that. Like, there's pros within YouTube. Like, you could be a pro and a YouTuber at the same time. And that's the kind of lane that I'm choosing. I want to be a pro and a YouTuber at the same time. And if you don't like it, then I mean, that's your problem.
Yeah, no facts. No, we're gonna talk about that for sure, 'cause you're still a pro. You play games that are produced, edited, and posted up on YouTube. So that don't change anything. I think it's just crazy 'cause you really weren't on a social media game, and now you got a whole presence. You got a whole brand under Big Guard U, and there's, thousands, millions of people that have seen you play or know your name. So I think that's just kind of an incredible journey. And for you to like do your due diligence from a business perspective too. Which is crazy too that like agents are going to get mad at you for not taking a deal. It's like, man, I don't want to go play in like Kosovo for less than, someone's making at a call center or something, right? Like, I mean, I can definitely understand that. Like, you got to get your bag too. So that's cool. Started from $100 and now you're part of the team, which is dope. And I think too, you building your presence and your brand, if I'm not mistaken, got you an opportunity to play in this Threes tournament that was hosted by the Aces, who's the majority owner of Power in the Big Three. How was that event? I feel like that kind of created a lot of buzz. And if I'm not mistaken, the top player from there got a ticket to the combine. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So they reached out to me with my boy Sha. It was crazy. Just reached out to me in my DMs, and I think I missed it at first, and then I came back to like, oh, one day bored reading my DMs and seeing his DM, and I was like, oh yeah, like, because they were saying they trying to build an event, you know what I'm saying, for opportunity to go to the Big Three. And like I said, I always wanted to be in Big Three. I knew about it. I watched it when it came to Tampa. I came to Tampa like 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. So when it came to Tampa, I watched it that time, and I was just like, it was like Gerald Green and like Rashard Lewis and stuff like that. That's when they were in it. And I was just like, dang, that's tough. Like, this is tough. Like, and it's just like the whole arena vibe, like, it was just like, it was stupid dope. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, when they said I got an opportunity to play, and I was like, all right, yeah. So I kind of was like the first creator, I guess, or talent to like to commit to it. So me, Shay, and Jordan Norwood was just communicating, you know what I'm saying, trying to make it all happen. Once that I posted this, and they gave me my own team, so I added Body Bag, Frank Nitti,
that's nasty,
and Debo, Dizzo to my team, whatever. But because I was first to commit, so once I committed, it was a couple other creators that committed, and they got the event jumping. You know what I'm saying? So it was a great event. It's crazy because the situation, like, it was being outside, it was real windy that day. I really played horrible, I feel like, in my eyes. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I was still not 100% from my injury. It was like, that was a while ago. So I was still like, I'll say I was like 60, 70%. So I didn't have like my best showing that I would have wanted. But they seen the talent, and they knew me from just watching YouTube, I guess. And was like, they know the talent is there. So yeah, we made it to the championship. We ended up losing against Glenn Rice. Team in the championship, but they seen enough from me to pick me as one of the people to come to the combine. So they paid for my flight and my hotel to come to the combine. And like I said, appreciate Jordan and Shay for giving me the opportunity, for sure. Because I mean, it all worked out, I guess.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Part of that journey, part of that path. And don't worry, you got a chance to get your get back this summer. You know, Glenn's a captain of Power, so you definitely got a chance.
Yeah, you know.
And I think too, I wonder if Jordan was like low key, you know, starting to, you know, he doesn't do the recruiting or anything, and he doesn't do the draft selections. But I wonder if maybe he's just throw a bone your way. But you went so early, there's no shot that they're going to chance to get you in the second round. So, nonetheless. Yeah. It's dope that it started from there. You got familiar with the 3-on-3 game. Now, was it Big Three styled, or was it more FIBA styled when you played in that tournament?
It was Big Three style. Okay. Like, they had the four-pointer, and then they did the fireball and stuff like that. So they definitely tried to emulate Big Three and kind of use the rules. It was just it was a dope event. Like, the energy was crazy. They have Joel Santana pull up, Bobby Smurda. Like, it was a dope. Yeah, it was one of the best events I've been a part of, to be honest. Like, and then they had like a big like sculpture, or not sculpture, like I don't even know what to call it, but it had my face over it, and I was over Joel Santana, so I just felt like big time, bro. So I'm just like, that's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's listening to Joel Santana, you know what I'm saying? So it was definitely like they definitely treated us well, and we had a good, great time out there. Mario was a coach for one of the teams at the time. That's where he initially seen me.
Oh, cool.
And Beasley was out there too at the time. So Beasley had seen me at that time too. But like I said, I didn't play well at all in my head. So I even right after the event, I texted them both, and I was like, I understand y'all picking three from this event, but I promise you this is my best performance. And if you was to give me another chance, because they were supposed to do a tour of it, you give me another chance, I'll show you better than I can tell you. So I'm glad they gave me another chance, for sure.
Yeah, and you got that. You took full advantage of that at the combine. I mean, just absolutely cooking people. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of people in this draft class that have been to the combine multiple times and never gotten selected. Like, this is the first time getting selected. It's not – there's not many people that necessarily get selected from the combine. Like, there are people that don't even show up sometimes, but because, like you said, people got good relationships and know people, and they kind of know their game, or they got, you know, a little bit more prominence with their name, you know, like sometimes people, just those people get picked. And so for you, you know, kind of being a first time drafted or combine attendee and then playing super well, I think that's not only huge for the league, but it's huge for other people like looking to make that jump. But I want to talk about the combine. What's kind of your approach going in the combine? Sounds like you were working hard to make sure you were at your full showing. And then just overall combine experience, like, did you feel good walking away from that?
You know, it's crazy. My combine started very, like, bad. Like, so I came, like I said, Jordan and the power of them, they paid for my flight. Well, in threes, they paid for my flight and hotel there. But we both didn't read the bottom of the contract or whatever, or the waiver, where it said that I needed a physical. So I got to the combine probably like 8:40. Like 8:41 or 8:50. And I got there, tried to sign in, and they was like, you don't have your physical, you can't try out. So at that time, I'm panicking, you know what I'm saying? Jordan panicking. So he's like, just go to the urgent care. So I went to probably like two different urgent cares. Both couldn't do it. And then the third one I called, water was out. So it was like real, like, everything was just not going my way. I went back to them, I called Nitty, tried to ask him to help me out. I knew Marius Hermans when he walked in. I asked him to help me out. Thomas Scott, the head of operations, he couldn't help me out. It was just like, nobody can help me. Then the combine started at 10 o'clock. As people like Thomas, he could tell you how this whole thing played out, because he remembered my face, because I was begging him to, like, just help me some way. Like, I know this is bigger than you, like, it's legal, but I'll sign something that say, like, if anything happened to me, I don't want no, like, reparations from Big Three or whatever. So the combine started at 10. Jordan ended up knowing a lawyer that knew a doctor that could do, like, a teledoc for me. So we ended up doing a teledoc, but I didn't start the combine till 11. Like, so I missed the first hour, like, shooting and warming up and all that. I missed the first hour of everything. Like, when I came, I got like 10, when I finally got the signed document, I got like 10 jump shots to warm up, and then I just jumped into one.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I missed the whole first hour. So it was really kind of like real hectic. Like, I didn't even think I was going to end up getting the chance to even try out, because everything just wasn't going right for me. And it wasn't just me. It was a couple people that, like, was doing, like, that didn't bring me physical. So they weren't just like only singling out me, but it was like seven, probably eight of us that didn't have a physical. So I really didn't even know I was going to end up getting a chance to try out. I ended up getting a chance probably like an hour late. But when we actually got the doctor on the phone and I realized that I'm going to be able to try out, it's just about how much I'm going to miss. I was just like in my head, like, you know what I'm saying, start warming up. I started stretching and start changing, and just be like, when you get there, just make it, do is play loud. Like, everything, make a loud play, make a splash, you know what I'm saying? And score, like, score the ball at will, like, you know what I'm saying? So that was my biggest thing coming in. Like, I know I trained beforehand, before I got to Vegas, whatever. But at the same time, when I was denied at first and given those 2 hours that I was waiting to try out, and then I actually getting a chance, I was just like, if I get this chance to actually try out, I'm gonna make sure, like, nobody don't forget my name. So I feel like that's what I was just going into. Like, I'm already up behind the hour. I got to make up for anybody that was looking good within that hour that I missed out on. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how the whole combine played out for me.
I feel like it's very symbolic of, like, kind of this whole interview, right? It's like, just stay in the course. And for you, I'm sure you're panicking, especially when someone's water out. Like, that's, I mean, come on. I mean, at that point, you're probably thinking, man, what can go right? And then you just kind of jump in there, probably, you know, didn't really even have time to think, which maybe worked to your advantage. But yeah, I mean, that's wild. And
just played off instant.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just how, you feel me? Like, I never want nothing easy. If it's easy, I mean, anybody can have it. So I feel like it was like, it's all this whole storyline of me you know what I'm saying, not playing my best at threes, but them still giving me a chance. And then me being there 2 hours early and then, or hour and a half early and then not being able to try out to an hour late. It was just like, that's why I said it's God. Like, I can't, it's destined for me. It was destined for me to make it. Like, so, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I give all glory to him. And like, it's just like a mental stability. Like, I just know, like, all right, when I get my chance, I'm just make it, do the best I can. And then whatever my best is, like, I just got to live with it. You feel me? Yeah. So that was my best that day. And like, it was enough to get drafted first round. So, like I said, and then now my whole thing is like, you know what I'm saying? Coach Coop taking that chance on me, even that early, you know what I'm saying? People didn't know my name, and it wasn't like a sexy draft pick, you know what I'm saying? It was more like a risk. So I want to make sure that his risk is well deserved. And like, and people, now when people look back at that draft, they like, dang, like, he had a sneaker pick of the whole draft, first round. So I want to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, his risk was well deserved. And like, I show him that, you know what I'm saying, I'm glad you took the chance on me because it worked out in his favor.
Yeah. That's love too. And, but I mean, just a crazy story. And for you, after you get done with the draft, you know, you feel like you did pretty well despite being late. Did you have any conversations with captains? I mean, obviously, you know, Rio and B's already, but did you have any conversations with other coaches and captains that gave you a good indication? Like, okay, there's still a good chance tonight that I could go at some point.
I had a couple conversations with like Nitty. He already had his guard spot filled, so it kind of was like a difficult situation for him. But I kind of talked to Mike Taylor a little bit. Like he watched a lot of my games, and then I talked to a little bit of, with the power, because they were already initially looking at me for the second round, because they was looking at a couple people for the second round, but they was always going big early, first round, they told me. So it would be like, that'll be a second round interest. So that's probably the two. And then, but Three's company, they definitely made it known that like they wanted me. Like, you know what I'm saying? They even at the, during, while I was still playing Threes, they came up to me. It was like, if you were there at the 10th pick, you know what I'm saying? We're going to pick you. You know what I'm saying? Man. And like, when they said that, like, you know what I'm saying? I just like was like shocked a little bit, like it stuck, because I was like, dang, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I, at the same time, I always try to not let myself get too high, too low.
Yeah. So
I kind of like took that with a grain of salt, not knowing, like, you know what I'm saying? They might end up seeing somebody else a little bit better and then saying the same thing to them, or collaborating, and then somebody want to go a different way. You know what I'm saying? So, because it wasn't Coach Coop that said it, was MG that said it. So I was like, all right, just kept playing defense or whatever. And it just all ended up going away, because Rio was there too. And Rio was like, bro, don't talk to nobody else. Like, we got you. So, you know what I'm saying? It was just like I said, it was just like a dream come true. And I had confidence going, like leaving the combine, you know what I'm saying? Talking to them, chopping it up with them. And then Reggie, like I said, Reggie's somebody that's already in Tampa and I train with every day. So I texted him, and he's with Three's company too. So it was just like a perfect situation. Like, I had three people already on, out of the five people on the team at the time, like with the coach and the GM and stuff like that, that wanted me. So it played out perfectly for real. Yeah. And I'm just trying to make sure that, you know, from them taking that risk was well deserved for real.
Let me. It sounds like you felt pretty good on draft night, but for you, you know, you're having to get a chance to be drafted, going first round after, you know, the kind of the entire story that you've explained and all the challenges and trials and tribulations you've had to go through. I mean, what's your reaction? And then two, I mean, I know you know a lot of these guys, but to be that other guy on the team that's going to be relied on heavily and getting a chance to play with B's and Rio and Reggie, which that's a crazy team, me even just saying all that. But, like, getting a chance to play with all those guys, like, how you feeling, like, right after you hear your name called in the first round and knowing who's the captain for Three's company?
I mean, like I said, I remember the time, but I'll never forget it, because I was an Outback. I was surrounded by my friends, and my friends, they was actually there. It's crazy because I was going to Vegas regardless because my boy, he just graduated with his doctorate. So we were celebrating in Vegas. Like we were gonna be there at that same exact time. So I was probably like 8 deep. We getting out back. We watching the draft, you know what I'm saying? I'm a little nervous, sweating. And then but I always was eyeing that 10th pick because that's when they said, you know what I'm saying, I had the potential to go on. So, you know what I'm saying? 8 go by, 9 go by, and 10 is here, and I'm just like, damn, like, is this just the one? So when they call my name, we kind of like turned up Outback.
Oh, yeah.
We had a party with the Outback, you know what
turned
saying?
Turned up the Outback. That's funny.
Yeah, so we had a good time Outback, and then we had a good time that night celebrating like his doctorate and my drafting. So I had a great time at the draft. And just being a part of a team with, like I said, a 2-time champ and Michael Beasley, number 2 pick, and then Reggie Evans, who had a long career in the NBA. And Shaw Williams, who was in the NBA, like I'm surrounded by NBA caliber players at one point in life, and there's so much wisdom and so much knowledge I could soak up from them. So even from just as simple as like my warm-up routine, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to just learn as much as possible. You know what I'm saying? Me still being young and still having a chance to even like make an impact on a G League team, or you know what I'm saying? The possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? I just don't want to put a ceiling to how far this can go, but I just want to put my best foot forward and show like whatever they need me to do, whatever piece they need me to be, you know what I'm saying? I'll be like, if it's a defender, if it's a scorer, if it's a facilitator, I'm willing to do whatever. But I feel like I do a little bit of everything. So I feel like I'm going to put my best foot forward, show not only the big three, but anybody watching that, you know what I'm saying? I might not have had a good college career, but I'm going to show you like the talent. When you can hoop, you can hoop. Like, you know what I'm saying? It don't matter where you're from, how, you know what I'm saying? What's your background? Like, hoopers always just hoop. So I just want to hoop. I just want to show the world and like never have my name like underestimated again. So I just want to put my best foot forward for sure.
Man, I mean, the thing that stuck out to me there is just possibilities are endless. Because truly, I mean, you're getting a chance to play on live TV, surrounded by, like you said, NBA talent, former NBA talent, guys who probably can still play in the NBA, being coached by Hall of Famers and NBA champions, right? And so, I mean, like we said, like connections are everything. But two, I mean, just the exposure you're getting is on a whole different level than what you've already gotten, which is big as well. So I think, like you said, possibilities are endless. You're like could really be creating a lane that no one has ever done, which like I know you don't get too high or too low, but you know, just thinking about that, and I'm just kind of talking out loud, but thinking about that, it's really crazy. Like this could just only be the beginning of that journey. So, man, that's cool too. It sounds like I'm sure you've seen, but in the big three, sometimes I got nicknames on the back for certain weeks. Sounds like you need a jersey with Big Guard U on the back for one of those weeks. Am I right?
No, I got you. I'm gonna talk to Thomas.
Yeah.
And the big three people, and let it be known, like we got to figure something out. You can't just be like I always play for my last name, which is core.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? For my family, you know what I'm saying? Leaving a legacy, and saying like, you know, showing my folks that, you know what I'm saying, there's endless possibilities to what like my people can do, like my family, showing like, you know what I'm saying, we can reach anything we put our mind to. But at the same time, you feel me? My brand is my brand, and I want to represent my brand as well. So I don't know. I got to get, even if I had to pay an extra, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To get me an alternate jersey, I'll do it. Like, we got to figure it out.
Yeah, no, for sure. You got to, you know, going against triplets, they got ISO Joe, and, you know, we've seen Frank Nitti, obviously, have his name. We got to get Big Guard U back there. So that'd be dope. I want to talk real quick about, like, just a collective group of y'all because, you know, Nitti is a captain. Body Bad just went number 1. Even, you know, someone like Hezzy God, who just won Rookie of the Year, he scored the most points in a single Big 3 game. What does it really say for these so-called, or you guys that are so-called street ballers or influencers to showcase, like, you know, you belong and can play against top-tier competition like those in the Big 3?
I just feel like we breaking down barriers that people put on us. People have perspectives of YouTubers, like we just do stuff for content, or you know what I'm saying, we just pull up to gyms and just hoop. Like we put in the work every day, just like any pro, you know what I'm saying, so that we can perform. Because every time we play, you know what I'm saying, every time we play, hundreds of thousands of people see it every time, you know what I'm saying? So for us, every time we play, we want to put our best foot forward, so that whenever that kid is watching that video, or them 100,000 people are watching that video, they don't see a bad side of you. Because then narratives are everything, and they run away with that narrative of that one bad game. You know what I'm saying? Right. So people, we put in the work, and a lot of people just think, you know what I'm saying, it's just fun and games. And sometimes they even think the stuff is staged. But I'm here, like I said, not even just me, like me, Hezzy, Body Bag, Nitty, we breaking down barriers of people's perspective that we are just YouTubers, or we just content creators, and we can't really hoop at that level. Like Nitty is a 3 or 4-time Drew League MVP and champion. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's NBA players that play in that league all mm-hmm. the time. You know what I'm saying? And Hezzy God came mid-season and torched the league. You feel what I'm saying? Like, literally, absolutely torched the league. And then Body Bag, same thing, had a great impact on a good team, and now is the number one pick. There was Larry Sanders, I think, was the number two pick, and that's an ex-NBA player, but they'd rather have Body Bag than Larry Sanders. Not saying, like, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that he's better than Larry Sanders or anything. I'm just saying, like, for him to go number one, that means something. It means that it's not just a YouTube. We're not just YouTube hoopers. We really hoop at elite level.
Yeah.
So I just feel like people think that we just go to LA Fitness and play against a whole bunch of ex college people or ex hoopers, and we never really hoop against no talent. But I mean, we come into the league, the big three, which, like I said, Jeff T, Joe Johnson, Mike Taylor. These are people that, you know what I'm saying, did well in the league, the NBA,
right.
the best basketball is in the world, you know what I'm saying? And they're playing on the big three, and we get to play alongside them and change that narrative every game. So that's why I take this so seriously. So, and I'm working out 2-3 times a day, so that when I get my chance to show them that I can play again alongside any of these people, you know what I'm saying, I just put my best foot forward. And like I said, shit, they might cook me one time, but I'm just gonna get mine back. I just know that I'm not gonna get got more than I get somebody. Even that's how I feel about it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't stop great players, but you can, like, you can just make it difficult and make people uncomfortable. So that's my goal, to make whoever I'm guarding uncomfortable. And even on offense and defense, I want them defensively. I want them to be guessing what I'm gonna do next, and just not knowing and not predicting what I can do. So, and I feel like people are underestimating me, and it's gonna really show week one.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh yeah. Good.
I'm excited.
Good D, better O, and two. I mean, what are they gonna say now? I mean, it's not, you're going against, like you mentioned, a bunch of guys that have played in the NBA, some that could probably still play in the NBA. So what are these people going to say now? So I love that you take a lot of pride in that, because I think it's a dope avenue. And I think it's kind of like Cube has always said, it's not about your name, it's about your game. And I think I love that about the league, just a mix of former NBA guys, so-called street ballers and influencers, FIBA, you know, FIBA players, gold medalists, or, you know, Olympic medalists, whatever it is. You know, I think it's a dope mix, and it just truly just, you know, the best of the best. So I'm excited for you that, couple more questions and I'll let you go. But I know you're a big time ones player. Obviously, from your time at the threes tournament, you got a chance to be in, or chance to be, or chance to see some Bring the Fire situations. How are you feeling about the Bring the Fire situation? Is there anybody specifically that you're excited to go against, or if you have that opportunity, if it just, you know, comes about?
If I had the opportunity, I might just foul Jeff T on the first time I get a chance, just so he can just to guard him. Or if he fouled me, you know what I'm saying, we might call a ring of fire just because that's somebody I'm really eyeing in the league. Him, I say Mike Taylor, and probably Isaiah Briscoe are my top three, like, that I'm looking forward to that matchup. Looking forward to testing my skills against theirs. And like I said, I ain't saying that I'm just gonna dominate. I'm just saying, like, these are people that, you know what I'm saying, that have status in the league and around the world. So I wanna show my talent against theirs so that people can stop underestimating YouTubers and people that take different routes, because every route ain't the most conventional route. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you gotta take a route that's, you know what I'm saying, not as people don't walk that path as much. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's my case, where everybody haven't walked my path, but you know what I'm saying, I'm still making it to the same destination as all these people. So I feel like, you feel me? They gotta show me. Yeah. At the end of the day, they gotta show me. I got the ultimate confidence in my game and the work ethic and the work I put in every day. So that's what gives me my confidence. Like, you get confidence from work, the work you put in. So I put in a lot of work to be where I need to be.
Man, and I appreciate, I think our listeners appreciate that you were so confident to say who you're excited to go up against. Sometimes we get some generic answers. That's no disrespect to any guests. I understand it. I'd probably be the same way. So I appreciate the confidence of you just kind of naming some people you're excited to go against. I think it's what makes it fun. There's a lot of trash talk in this league already. So, you know,
yeah. I feel like you got to, sometimes you got to put a target on your back. You know, right. It gets you going. You put a target on your back, gets you going. So I feel like I can't, now that I said those three names, I can't just, like, you feel me, like, just get killed. Like, I, now is my pride online, because, you know what I'm saying, now it'll be, the next clip will be me saying this and then getting fried. So I can't do that now. Right. So it's going to hold myself to the standard of playing defense against anybody, but especially against those three names. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Outside of Three's Company, what do you think of the competition? And is there any team that you've seen and been like, damn, they're definitely going to be, you know, a title contender, someone that, you know, you'll take everybody seriously, but someone that, you know, you got to lace them up a little bit tighter against going into the season?
Paul Millsap, he was somebody that I played with in 2K all the time with his turnaround game. So, and he got all his brothers. So I want to see how that, like, I don't understand that's chemistry, but I want to see how that plays out. Isn't Al Jefferson and Jeff Teague on the same team?
Al Jefferson's on Paul's team, and then they got Bullitt, who's been in this league a while and used to be the number one 3-on-3 player in the world. Okay. But Teague's got Monroe on his team, so Greg Monroe.
Yeah, and don't he got body bag too?
He got body bag too. Yep.
Yeah, so that's definitely a game I'm circling. Briscoe, he came back to the league. He won two back to back, and then took his year off, and then came back. So I wanted to ruin his, like, welcome him back party. And then Nitty, me and Nitty always, you know, so that's my OG. You know, so I got a lot of respect and love for Nitty. He done did a lot of things for me and put me in a lot of rooms that I probably wouldn't have been in if without him. So I give a lot of respect to Nitty. But at the end of the day, it's competitive. I'm a competitor. So when I see him, you know what I'm saying, all that OG shit go out the window, and you know what I'm saying, it's time to light it up. So you know what I'm saying? And he know I'm like that. So that's why he got so much love and respect for me, you know what I'm saying? Because he know at the end of the day, like, you feel me, we could be the best of friends off the court, but when we lace them up and we get between them lines, like, there's no more friendship. And then after this, we can talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that's the culture he's kind of built, right? Because he's like that in a sense too. Like, that's the culture I feel like about Killer Threes. If you don't watch this league year over year, week after week, and you look at just who's on that roster, a lot of people I feel like wouldn't rank Killer Threes high. But with Killer Threes, you got to understand, like, that's a lot of grit and grind. That's a lot of toughness built into their culture. That's a lot of chemistry of four guys that have been on the same team for 3 years. So they're always a tough out. Yeah. And like you said, like, they're not real friendly on the court. Like, they're coming for blood.
Yeah. Dom's
a killer. Dom's a killer.
Yeah. And I think it was the Mecca when I came to LA. I was on Nitty team and we played against them. So, you know, so he reposted my post today. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got a lot of love for each other. And he hit me up right after the combine. I was like, you know what I'm saying, you did well, blase, blase. You know what I'm saying? We talked back and forth. But, I got a lot of respect for his game, too. He gave me a couple buggers at the Mecca, but I'm going to get my get back when we get to the big
three. Oh, yeah. Someone, I'm trying to remember who it was, someone I interviewed, it might have been Jordan Crawford, but I was asking, like, who the hardest.
That's another one. I forgot about Jordan. That's another person that I'm looking for. Because I literally, like, been watching games to try to catch up. So I watched his playoff game against Hezzy.
He was cooking. He was doing that all year.
And I was just like, and he had like a little swag about it. So, you know what I'm saying? I just like competing. Like, you feel me? So somebody like that, I gotta give him my best.
Yeah.
So that, you know what I'm saying? So Jordan Crawford had like a long season. He used to give the NBA buckets too. He was a great piece. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I got a lot of respect for his game too. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I just want to go against all the guards. Real for everybody got to see me.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Last thing I want to ask you is, a lot of people love this league, obviously because of the competition. But, two, I think a lot of people like this league because it's like you get to travel. There's a weekend you get to spend with the guys of Brotherhood of just like – pro hoopers. There's not a ton in the world. There's only a small percentage, and I feel like a lot of people like enjoy on the court and also off the court. Is there anything that you're excited for off the court, or what does Nas Core enjoy outside of basketball that you're looking forward or maybe have an opportunity to do this summer while touring with the Big Three?
Well, yeah, just networking with, like I said, first getting a lot of like wisdom and knowledge from all these pros and about how they take care of their body, how they go about their day-to-day, how, you know what I'm saying, how they even approach the game. You know what I'm saying? Those are things that I'm just going to be like a sponge and try to soak up as much as I can. Never playing at that high level, you know what I'm saying, where I have the resources available to me that they probably had, you know what I'm saying, or, you know what I'm saying, not knowing when to, like, they getting on the bus 2 hours before warming up, go home, take a shower. Like, just my pregame routine is something as simple as that. I probably, right now, trying to figure it out, but they have it down to a science, you know what I'm saying? From the meal prep to post-game rehab, you know what I'm saying? So, first and foremost, I'm kind of just looking forward to, like, learning and soaking up as much knowledge from as many pros as I can, because if this is the level that I want to play at for a long time or for as long as I can, you know what I'm saying? These are the people that I need to learn from. So that's probably the first. But second of all, just networking and learning. You know what I'm saying? A lot how they do the outside of basketball and how they live their lives and stuff like that. So networking and just, you know what I'm saying, being available and not being like, you know what I'm saying, shut off taking it all in. Like, it's a great opportunity. You get to network with a lot of people that's been like Marcus Thomas. Coached by Pat Riley. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the best coaches ever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So these are things that, you know what I'm saying, I can learn something from. I can network in. You know what I'm saying? Not saying I could network with Pat Riley himself, but it'll be good. It'd be cool. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just excited for all the opportunities. And like I said, I really don't know what I'm going to get out of this season, but I'm just excited for it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just taking it all as I take everything else and just dive in at first and just see what comes out of it. So yeah. I feel like I'm excited for the Brotherhood and being kind of like being a part of the Brotherhood now, being from a little major school, you know what I'm saying, and not getting all the resources that all these guys have probably had available to them for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, you and the rest of Three's company have a big job to accomplish. This team hasn't been to the playoffs since they made the championship game in 2018. So best of luck to you this summer. I'm sure you're not only going to be fighting for a chip, but there's a lot of good new players fighting for that rookie of the year spot. So I'm sure that's, you know, something that will come with potential.
Yeah, that's definitely something in the back of my mind.
For sure. Yeah. I don't want to make it an individual
game by game.
Yeah.
But that chip is the most important. We got to get that chip. Right. We got to break that history.
Right, for sure.
We don't want to make it to the championship game. We want to win the championship. So I want to be. We want to be the first to win the championship. That's the ultimate goal for the season. If we make it to the, we win the championship. That'll be the end all be all.
Yeah, Reggie needs it. Reggie's been close. Reggie, you know, only missed the playoffs once as a member of Three-Headed Monsters and then his first year with Killer Threes. So Reggie needs it. So best of luck to you. Best of luck to Three's company and looking forward to seeing how you compete with the rest of these guys. And congrats again on being drafted.
Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.